Hi everyone and welcome to my podcast Magda mluví anglicky. I'm Magda and I'm an English teacher from the Czech Republic and you can find me on Instagram as Magda učí anglicky. This time I spoke with Verča, who's Czech but living in Japan at the moment. I was really thrilled to talk to her and we spoke about many things like her job in Japan and what it's like to work with the Japanese, her life and housing in Tokyo, and of course the COVID situation, and also some surprising things about Japan. And I'm sure you'll love it. And if you do, please let me know. You can leave a review or write me on Instagram. Okay, so let's get started. Hello everyone, and welcome back to my podcast. And today I'm here with Verča. And I'm really excited because it is 11:20, so just before midday, and Verča's time zone is completely different. So, hello, Verča, and can you tell us where you are joining us from and what the time is?
Hello everyone, hello listeners, hello Magda. Maybe you can guess first, the time here now is 7:21 p.m., so I'm 8 hours ahead, and if you don't know where that might be, it's Asia, and I'm just joining you from Japan, from Tokyo, actually.
How long have you lived in Japan, and what's your job? What do you do there?
So in April, at the beginning of April, it will have been actually 2 years since I moved to Japan. The original plan was just to be here for 1.5 years, but out of the blue, because of COVID, it just happened to be extended. So now I'm supposed to be here until this September 2021. And my job is I work for the organizing committee of the Olympic and Paralympic Games, Tokyo 2020. As the technical operation manager for one of the sports, para powerlifting.
Para powerlifting? I had no idea there was yes. Something like that. Did you get to pick the sport?
No, I didn't. It just came to me, actually. I had been working in the field of para sports and like sporting events for disabled youth for many years before I came here. And, you know, it just happens that you go somewhere, you go to a conference, you have a speech there, you meet people and they remember you. And it just happened that I received an email from the president of the World Para Powerlifting Federation, which is an umbrella organization for the sport worldwide. And he just offered me this position and he thought I would be good for it. So it came out of the blue. You know, it just, it really surprised me and pleased me a lot because it had always been my dream to work for the Paralympics. You know, once you start, once you become involved in sporting events, the biggest one is, of course, your goal, right? So it was just like dreams come true. Yeah.
Wow, so that sounds amazing. So I'm happy that, yeah, you managed to fulfill your dream. That's great. So,
yes.
So, yeah, so you said you live in Tokyo, right? So
yes, correct.
What's the life in Tokyo like? Because I heard it's like super busy, lots of people. So what is it like for you as a Czech?
Well, yeah, it can be pretty hectic, but I must say it really depends on the area where you live or you spend the most time. I feel pretty lucky because the area where I live is kind of quiet. I couldn't live in the very center, like maybe listeners know parts like Shibuya or Shinjuku. I don't actually ever go there. So it really depends on the area. And what I really love about Tokyo is that one, you know, like for a moment, you can be walking down a very busy street, like, you know, just the main one. And then within like 20 seconds, you know, just you take a few steps, you make a few turns, and you're in a quiet street with like very old houses, and it looks like you're in a small town. So it's, yeah, it's very, very interesting, actually.
Wow. So, yeah, because I never thought of that, you know, that Tokyo could also have like some like nice old houses and stuff, because every time someone says Tokyo, it's like, yeah, skyscrapers, apartment buildings everywhere, super busy. So this is quite surprising for me.
It was for me actually as well. Thank you for like reminding me of how I felt when I came. I completely forgot about it because I had the very same idea, you know, just like shiny buildings, right? Everything high tech and like, yeah. But no, it's very different. I get this feeling that of like both the modern world and also, you know, the old times. It's a combination of both. And I would say actually that the later one is more frequent. At least it feels like that to me, that yeah, there are areas that just look really old and the houses are very shabby and you're like, what? This is Tokyo? What is that?
So where do you live, Veru, personally? Like, do you live in a house or in an apartment?
Mm-hmm. So I live in an apartment because, yeah, I'm in a house in Tokyo. You need quite a good salary for that. And generally speaking, the apartments here are very small. I live in a, it's kind of, it's like apartments that are run by the government. And, you know, government has a lot of buildings everywhere in Japan. And yeah, so we just rented one of the apartments they run.
Uh-huh. So how, okay, how much is it if it's not a secret? So how much does it cost to rent an apartment in Tokyo?
Okay, so maybe I would start, I would mention a few things about the very beginning when you actually just starting the process of like finding, looking for an apartment. It's quite interesting because you can go two ways. Either these like apartments provided by the government, or you can go, of course, with agencies, real estate agencies, and there is a disadvantage because you need to pay a lot of money up front, and there is key money, you know, like a lot of deposits, and so there is a lot of investment, but the apartment comes fully equipped, or at least partially, whereas the apartment I live in, this kind of apartments, they are just empty. I mean, you have nothing there. So I moved to an apartment where it was just the kitchen counter and the floor, you know, and that was it. So I needed to, purchased all the electrical appliances and furniture. So that was difficult, but in the end, it's much cheaper. Because the rents are lower, there is no key money, and yeah, you ask about the rent. So I live in an apartment that might be about 40 square meter probably, with a big balcony, and it's kind of 1kk, I would say, even though I have a bedroom, but I don't count it as an actual room because it's divided only. There is only like the Japanese sliding door. It's very thin, so no, it's not soundproof or like, you know. So let's say 1kk, and I pay it's about 113,000 yen divided by 5. So about 20,000 Czech crowns, I would say, right?
Yeah.
Slightly over that, yeah.
But the salary that you get balances it out, right? So it's okay for you? Or is it, do you think that the ratio is worse or better, you know, the ratio of salary to rent than in the Czech Republic?
I would say that the lifestyle here is much better because I have an average salary, or slightly above the average, according to what I read on the internet, and I'm able to save a lot of money. So I think, yeah, of course, it depends on your lifestyle and what you do in your free time, right? But I would say, yeah, generally speaking, if I compare it to my life back in the Czech Republic, I'm doing much better. And yeah, it's a better lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's interesting. And can you imagine staying there forever?
Ha, that's a good question. If you had asked me a couple of months ago, I would have told you, oh, no way, no way, no way. It's too different. Now, yeah, I still think I will say no, I can't, but I can imagine staying here longer. At the beginning, I could not because it was just, yeah, it was too tough. You know, the culture is very different. It can get pretty difficult. But now I'm very grateful for being here. Also, because of what's going on in the world now, there is a massive difference in the situation here and in the Czech Republic. So I just feel really good being here now. Yeah.
So what's the situation like? What's your COVID life like in Japan at the moment? Because here in the Czech Republic, so we are recording this. I think it's the 2nd of March.
2nd of March, yes.
Yeah, it's still the 2nd of March, 2021. And the situation with COVID is not good at all here in the Czech Republic. So we are stuck in our districts, in our towns and villages, and we need some like special paperwork to go across the district borders, which are normally non-existent. So yeah, so what is it like in Tokyo at the moment?
Totally different. Just listening to you saying all this, I feel like, you know, I'm living in paradise because we are not restricted at all. We've been living normal lives. Yeah, of course, we have to wear masks and, you know, there are certain restrictions. And we did have a state of emergency last year at the very beginning. So like March, April, I think. And then we had it again from, I think, January, and actually we have it until this Sunday. But state of emergency here means not much for me as an ordinary citizen. You know, just some businesses have shortened their hours. But that's mainly it. Like I can go swimming. Like recently I've been going skiing every weekend to different parts of Japan. I can really do like anything. I can go to cinema, like really anything you can think of. But yeah, we're wearing masks. Everybody is. And we, you know, it's been like this since March. So I think there is I see a big difference in the behavior, and you know, the Japanese are more responsible, and they respect authority and they respect the group before the self. So everybody's being very responsible.
That sounds amazing. I can't even imagine, you know, going to the cinema now or doing something what we used to do. It seems like, yeah, I don't know, yeah, distant past or future. Yeah. So, Vero, you mentioned that Japan is a very different culture, which I think all of us can imagine, like a European in Asia or in Japan. So what were the biggest shocks for you at the beginning?
Everything, from big things to small things. Like when I came here, I felt like Alice in Wonderland, really, like literally. You know, from like, I mean, the way people look, you know, we can start with that. The way people speak, the way everything is written, you understand like zero, to like lack of bins in public places, to like just so many vending machines at every corner. And yeah, it's just like so many things that blow your mind, really. And it's funny to watch how one gets used to them. Now I can't imagine my life without certain things, you know, that I got used to here in Japan. It's very interesting.
So what are they?
Wow. Okay. So I think for me as a woman, the biggest one is safety. No matter where I was before, I always had this like sense of, okay, I need to be careful. I need to like, watch my surroundings and yeah. And it was always in the back of my mind. Whereas here, it doesn't matter the time, the place I am. I just don't think about it at all. I feel 100% safe. So that's probably the biggest thing I will miss about Japan. Then, of course, convenience. Living here is just so convenient. You know, it's related to great customer service and simply, you know, I would like to mention these convenience stores that are at every corner, and you can get really anything you can think of at any hour of the day. So imagine it's 2 a.m. and you're like, oh, my charger broke. I need a toothbrush, or I need a, I don't know, really anything, knickers, even knickers. And you go to this convenience store and you just find it there, you know, everything you're looking for. It's great. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds amazing. So yeah.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the list goes on, you know, but I want to be a bit brief. I could mention probably like 50 things that are great about Japan, but of course also 50 things that are not so great about Japan.
What are those?
Okay. I feel like here every good thing has its negative side. So, for example, the Japanese, we were speaking about the convenience. So that comes also with, I mentioned the customer service. So imagine you do your shopping, they always give you like a plastic bag, and they give you tissues, and they give you, and now I can't remember what it's called in English. I know it only in Japanese. Chopsticks. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Chopsticks. They just give you everything, and everything is wrapped in plastic. So that's, for example, the downside of the customer service. But on the other hand, they are great at recycling. You know, every district in Tokyo or in any other city or town has like their special rules how to divide rubbish. So yeah, it's great, but maybe you can think about how to limit the usage of plastic, right? How to reduce that. So it's like, yeah, but what was your question actually? Oh yeah, the negative things.
Yeah.
I think the culture has its pros and cons as well. And I think one of the negative aspects is they are not very good at being spontaneous. They really respect orders and rules. So there is a lack of critical thinking. That can be pretty tough for a person from the West, let's say, you know.
Yeah, so you are used to, you know, like being creative and spontaneous,
yeah,
and like,
yeah,
dealing with stuff yourself rather than just like following orders and the rules.
Exactly. They're very used to following orders and manuals, and that happens both at work and in everyday life. You know, if you ask for something, I don't know, in a restaurant that is unusual, it's like in 90% of the cases, they freak out because they're not used to it. They don't have it in the manual from their boss. So yeah, that's a very specific feature here.
So they're not very flexible.
No, not at all. No.
Yeah. So what about English and Japanese? So you mentioned everything's written in Japanese. And are some of the signs and notices also in English, or do you have to learn Japanese? Or so what is it like? Like, did you have to learn Japanese?
So the good news is you can survive here without Japanese. But I think it all comes down to the fact that we have all the technology that can help us, like Google Translator. That's my best friend, literally. So thanks to this, I'm okay. Otherwise, I would not be at all because, yeah, most of the things are in Japanese only, which is good because I like when the culture really preserves its like heritage, you know, and the language. I like it. I heard from some friends who've lived in Japan for a long time that a few years ago, and now I can't tell how many, sorry, it was much worse that even like the subway, you know, there were no signs in English and you could just get lost very easily because, I mean, the subway system here is very complex, of course. But now they have English signs. Every subway line has its color. So, yeah, that really helps. What also helps is that, and I got so used to it. I love it. In restaurants, you have picture menus. So, yeah, you can just, you know, pick a dish based on the picture, which really helps when you can't speak Japanese. And yeah, I can't speak Japanese because when I was coming here, I was told it would be for 1.5 years, right? And to master Japanese, at least, you know, to get to a level that is satisfactory and you can communicate in everyday life, it's not easy. It's a difficult language. So I decided not to get down this path and focus on my job. If I had known it would be 2.5 years, I might have acted differently, and I do regret that. But, well, too late for that.
So, yeah, so no Japanese learning for you.
No, I did try. I was learning the alphabet. I can recognize a few characters. I use some phrases at work. I know some everyday expressions. But yeah, it's just, I mean, it's nothing really.
So what language do you use on a daily basis at work and in your personal life?
So yeah, it's English, but it's, again, not as easy as it might seem. It was a huge shock when I joined the committee because, I mean, one imagines, you know, it's the committee of the biggest sporting event, right, in the world. And you would imagine that the official language is English, and it should be. Officially, it should be. But no, it's not. Like 90% of my emails are actually in Japanese. I struggled a lot at the beginning, and not only me, but of course every other foreigner. It was very tough for all of us when you're attending meetings and you can't understand a single word to translate. You cannot read your emails. That's why I said Google Translate is just my biggest friend, you know. But yeah, we fought a bit and we tried, and it's slowly improving. And given the extra year, it's got better. But yeah, Japanese.
Wow, that's a surprise. So like with your colleagues, because I'm sure you do have some colleagues or coworkers, right? But you speak English to them, yeah?
Yeah, so my team is very small. It's me and three more Japanese people. They all speak English, different levels. So like I, of course, communicate in English with everybody, but sometimes I need my colleague Actually, all the time. I need my colleague to translate for me in meetings, translate what I say, what the others say, and emails. I write emails in English, but then I always add the Google translation in Japanese. And now my Japanese colleagues are trying the same thing. Those who cannot speak English, you know, they use Google translated English. So, yeah, I mean, misunderstandings happen, and sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's not.
Well, and so you mentioned that, So, yeah, English is like the main language for you. So, as this is a podcast also for learners of English and English students. So, Vero, do you have any ideas or tips how to get better in English, or how to learn, or what helped you personally?
That's a very important question, and it's something I've been working on my whole life, of course. It's a never-ending story. I think it all comes down to practice, 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 and being exposed to English as much as you can. I feel very fortunate in having traveled to English-speaking countries. You know, while I was at uni, I always spent the whole summer in the UK. So it was my actions, you know, it was because I loved it. So I needed to do something for it. So if you want to improve your English, I just do recommend, get surrounded with people who speak English as well. Practice, choose an activity that you really enjoy, whether it's like watching movies, reading books, or reading news, and just do it in English on a suitable level. Yeah, I think that is my main tip, I would say.
Yeah, I completely agree that you have to be exposed to the language and use it and practice. Yeah, because sometimes people just think that one hour per week will do, but that's not enough. Yeah, you have to be constantly in connection or in the environment. And actually it is, I'd say that these days it's really easy, you know, to, even though you're not in an English-speaking country, it's really easy to simulate it, even at home. So you can watch, English news and English series and read in English. Yes. So it's much, much easier. Like sometimes I'm like, oh my God, I wish this all had been available for me when I was learning, So
exactly.
I'm like,
exactly. Oh,
yeah. It's such, it makes sense.
That's what I wanted to say. Yeah, now if you want to learn a language, I mean, let alone English, right? It's just, it's everywhere around you. You have so many means. I think we are very lucky, and it's a great time. As you said, you can, I mean, get your phone and like you will have a thousand of options. It's just perfect, you know, from podcasts to online radios to I don't know, TED Talks and just so many.
Okay, Vero, thank you very much for our short chat, and I would love to talk to you sometime in the future again, and we could then do a little follow-up on your situation in Japan, everything, and even speak more about like the Japanese people and the locals, and what it's like to work with them, and
I would love to.
Perfect.
Of course, there are so many things to be shared. You know, it's a very interesting country, very interesting culture. I will be more than happy to talk about it a bit more in the future if you want.
Yeah, of course. Perfect. So we'll stay in touch, and we can set another date and record one more episode. So thank you
Wonderful.
Very much for your time. I've had a blast. It was so interesting, and I'm sure that the listeners will love it.
Thank you very much for inviting me, and everybody stay healthy and safe.
So good night, Veru. It will be time to go to sleep soon. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, exactly. You guys have a good afternoon.
Okay. Thank you very much and talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode and sharing your time with me. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram as Magda Uči Anglicky. And I'd be super grateful if you shared the podcast with your friends or even left a review on the podcast app of your choice. Thanks again and have a great day.